kids, you're going to stay here. As I said, our sermon title is Enemies of Wrath. Enemies of Wrath. If you're just now joining us, we're going through the book of Revelation. This isn't a Mother's Day topic sermon. We're preaching the Bible today. Usually this church, we preach through books of the Bible. But I want to remind you what we've said Revelation is about. We've said Revelation isn't about all the scary stuff or calendars. It's about a city. And so I want to remind us of this city. We see it in Revelation 21, verse 27. And let's read this, and I want you to listen for what's special about this city. It says, 21:27, "But nothing unclear will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." So we're remembering this city. And kids, our goal is to show how each chapter in Revelation is getting us one step closer to this city. And last week we said that all this discussion of these bowls of God's wrath are getting us ready for the purity we see in this city. Do you see how pure this is, kids? It says nothing detestable, nothing false. Kids, did any of you lie this week? Your mom said, "Hey, who ate the cookie? You said it wasn't me." Yeah, all of us, if we're honest, we're not pure enough for this city. We still sin. We still make mistakes. And so we're in lessons right now about God's wrath. This pure city, we need to be purified for. So last week we talked about repentance, turning away from sin. This week we're talking about the enemies of wrath. The people, the spirits that don't want us to make it to the city. There were some spirits in what Miss Jayla read. Which just brings us to our game. Kids, here's the game. It goes like this. Kids, watch out for the frog. Watch out for the frog. I've got here a frog. Does this look scary? Are you going to have bad dreams about this frog? You kids in your activity pack are coloring pictures of frogs. Nobody, unless it hops on your face, like sees a frog and says, "Oh, I'm so scared. It's going to bite me." I mean, maybe a big scary bullfrog. But we think of frogs as happy, cute things. So here's how our game is going to go, kids. This cute little frog is going to get passed around the whole sanctuary. Grown-ups, you can play, but don't cheat, okay? It's like a game of reverse hot potato. You just keep passing it. The whole sermon, you just keep passing it. And whenever I say frog, and hold up this picture that Ella colored, right? You colored this, right? Of a tree frog. Look at that, man. What an artist. Wow. Then whoever has the frog, you come down and get a prize out of the prize box. No guarantee that there's not peanut products in there, parents, if you need to be warned. So that's how it's going to work. We're just going to pass the frog around, and I'm going to say the word frog a lot. We'll start over here. That way my kids don't win first. Don't hold on to it. You got to keep passing. Whenever I say the word frog, grown-up, if you have it and you want candy, good for you, you can come down, or you can pass it to the nearest kid, but keep passing it. No cheating. So that's our game. Watch out for the frog. It's going to try to sneak up on you. Watch out for it. All right, so what is John teaching in our text today? John is teaching, stay awake to the spiritual war. Stay awake to the spiritual war. Our text is simple. Just as I want you to pay attention to the stuffed frog, John wants us to pay attention to the spiritual frogs. Speaking of which, frog, whoever's got the thing, come down and get your prize. We won't make a big deal about it. If you get it, you just come get your candy and then go back to your spot. I'll keep rolling. It's going to happen a few times, I think 8 times during the sermon, so don't freak out. All right, so then take it and keep passing. All right, so, but do you see John's point? Just like we stay awake in the game, you got to stay awake in the spiritual war. Let me remind you where we're at. Don't take too long. You got to get over there, pass. Get out of here. last week, we were on the 7 bowls of God's wrath. And we did bowls 1 through 6 last week. This week we're in a pause. And we've had these pauses before. We've had the 6 seals and then a pause. And we've had the 6 trumpets and then a pause. But what makes this week a little different is usually in the pause, John shows us a picture of good guys, like he's shown us the 144,000, or he's shown us the two witnesses. This week in the pause, John shows us a picture of bad guys. We see Satan, we see demons, there's bad guys here. And so that's how we're going to break down the text. We're going to go through these verses quickly and see what John is teaching us about the bad guys. So up first is verse 13. I'll read it for us. It says, "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs." Kids, what do we learn about the bad guys here? What we learn here about the bad guys is they are sneaky. They can't be trusted. They're trying to fool us. Speaking of which, frog, if you've got it, come down and get it. Whoever you want to come get it, and then keep passing. We're not going to make a big deal each time. All right. So the point is, they're being sneaky, but you've got to stay awake. The dragon and the beast and the prophet are the same guys we met earlier in Revelation, and they weren't playing nice. Satan was accusing the saints until they gave their life. The sea beast was arresting Christians and killing them. The land beast was controlling the values of culture. But what do they do in this verse? They unleash frogs. Again, they're not that scary. Like, we've seen dragons and scorpions in Revelation. We're like, oh, a frog. That's not that bad. But as the kids taught us earlier, would John's people, especially the Jewish ones, know some Bible stories about frogs? Yeah, the kids sang about the plagues. What does it say of the plagues in Exodus 8? It says, "So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt." So here's what's happening. Back in Exodus, God unleashed plagues to free his people. But then what happened? When they got to frogs, the bad guys copied the plagues. They copied the frogs to trap God's people. They were tricking people. And the same thing is happening in Revelation. They have already had six plagues, and then along comes Satan saying, "I'm going to copy something. I'm going to trick somebody." And that's how it goes. What is the trick like in verse 14? What does it say in verse 14? It says, "For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty." What is their trick about? They are unifying spirits. John says they're going to perform signs. And just kids, here's something you gotta know. In the Bible, just because you see a miracle doesn't mean it's from God. The demons can trick people with miracles. They can deceive people with miracles. But what are they using these signs for? They're using these miracles to unite the kings. The frogs are saying, "Ribbit, ribbit." And all the kings say, "Oh, that's so cute. Oh, let's all be friends." They unify. Everybody likes the frogs. Everybody can get behind the frogs. Speaking of which, frog, who's got our frog? Miss Jonelle, you can come down if you want candy or not. I'll let you decide that. But yeah, the frogs are essentially saying, "Let's have a one world government. Let's have a one world religion. Let's all just be ruled by the United Nations. Let's just have no borders. Let's have all the religions be the same." Kids, if someone tells you that, run away. Run away. This spirit of unity, while it looks good, is dangerous. Which, now I'll talk to our seniors. All right, seniors, you're here. You're going to go to college. And you're going to hear this word. It's in your sermon notes. Ecumenism. Can you seniors say that? Ecumenism? They're like, no way. Don't worry, you don't have to spell it. There's not a spelling bee. All right? There is a good way to use this word, but there is a very bad way to use this word. And here's the bad way. Which you seniors will see this as you go off to college and you're in the workplace. It goes like this. Ecumenism. All churches are the same. The Catholic, the Baptist, the Jehovah's Witness, we're just all the same. Or, even worse, all religions are the same. Mormonism, Buddhism, Confucianism, they're all the same. That's what these unifying spirits are doing. And let me help you graduating seniors. Here's what you say whenever you're there, you're at Victoria College, you're at A&M, wherever you go. And they say, all religions are the same. Do you know what you say? No, they are not. They're not. They're not. And you don't have to say it like a jerk. It's just if someone's saying that, they're speaking from ignorance. And I have it in your sermon notes. You can go follow these up later. But Muslims, over here, they believe that Jesus was a man who was a prophet. You can go look up Quran chapter 3, verse 45. He's a man who was a prophet. Do you know what Baptists and all true Christians believe? They believe he's the Son of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You cannot unify those ideas. You can't say they're the same. They don't fit together. Or, let's talk about all churches are the same. When someone says that to you, you know what you say? No, they are not. That's not something hateful to say. That's something true. For example, Baptists. We're at a Baptist church. Welcome to First Baptist Yoakum. We teach that baptism is for believers by immersion. But if you go down the road to the Lutheran church, good people, they teach that baptism is a sacrament, their own wording, that is administered to infants. But those don't go together. They don't fit together. Or Baptists, we teach not to pray to icons. I was actually just talking to a brother about this. He said, hey, do you have any statues of Jesus that I could use? I said, we don't really do that. It's not our thing. But the Catholics, they teach and they encourage people to pray using icons, little statues of saints. That's part of their official teaching. And so here's the point. They don't fit together. When someone tells you all churches, all religions are the same, you tell them, no, they're not. No, they're not. It is an idea that these frogs use. Now, don't get me wrong. I love working with other churches. I am the president of the Yoakum Ministerial Alliance. I love praying together, serving together with my Catholic friends, my Methodist friends, my Lutheran friends. But when we get together, we don't say we're the same. Here's an important thing, seniors. Get used to being okay with differences. Things don't have to be the same. That's how these frogs operate. They say we have to unify everything. All the governments the same. All the religions the same. All the churches the same. And these frogs are great at it. They unify everyone. But it's based on a lie. How do we know that? Well, because someone speaks up. Someone who's been quiet for a long time. Look at verse 15. What does it say? Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. Who comes in to give a warning against what these frogs are teaching? Jesus himself. And you may notice John doesn't explicitly say Jesus here, but the language, behold, I am coming, and his warning is the exact way he talks back in Revelation 2 and 3. And what is Jesus warning? Does he say, I love the frogs? Does he say, vote for the frogs? Does he say, yes, let's have one world government, one world church, one world religion? No, he says, stay awake, keep pure, keep your clothes on. Speaking of which, frog. Oh, man, this preacher kid, he gamed the system. No, it's down there, man. It's down there. Stay awake, keep on passing. I'm going to make this simple for you kids. For you kids. There will be a time, and it will usually be a government official. It could be a church. But someone in authority in your life will tell you, Yoakum is your home. Texas is your home. They'll talk about your home, and they'll say, we all know each other. We all remember each other. Let's just forget all our differences and get along. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. This is your home. Let's all get along. That's what Jesus is reminding us. As nice as that sounds, what's the lie in it? Christian, you know the answer. Is Yoakum your home? No. If we're reading the book of Revelation, what's our home? I want to get to that city. Yoakum's a great place to live, but it is not our eternal home. So that's what Jesus is reminding us. These spirits want you to join with them, but we have to remember, even though they look like cute frogs, there are dangerous things out there. The frogs look nice and unifying, but they are a killer. How do we know they're a killer? That's the next verse, verse 16. It says, and they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Assembling with the wrong team. Kids, there's a lot going on in this verse. Grown-ups, you can look at the sermon notes in the back to follow along all the pieces. A lot of grown-ups get excited about that word Armageddon. They're like, oh, where is that? When is that? I'm so excited. I'll make it real simple. It is a valley outside of a city called Megiddo in Israel. I've been there. And it's a famous battleground. Just like in Texas, what's the famous battleground just north of us? Gonzales, come and take it. All right? So the idea is the kings loved to do battle there because it was flat and you could move your forces around. But it was a place for battle. And we're going to see how this war is going to go in Revelation 17 and 19. But right now, I want us to focus on the frogs. Who's got our frog? Oh, yeah, you can pass on. You can have Danny. Yeah, yeah, whoever you want. Aiden, whoever. Whoever wants to have the demon frog, that's fine. Come get your prize. But John's lesson right here isn't how the battle is going to go down. It's why it is going down. And there's something so critical. Remember, these bad guys are sneaky. Look at verse 16 again. Look at verse 16 again. This is so important. It says, and they said, let's go to war. Is that what it says? It says, and they assembled. John is using that word on purpose because that is not normally a military word. That is normally a gather for worship word. That is normally a church word. Do you see what's happening? These frogs are getting people to oppose Jesus, not to stab him and shoot guns, but with worship. This is a false worship. And if we think about it and what's been going on in Revelation 16, it's so easy to see how this could happen. All right, imagine two churches. You're in America. There's two churches, all right? There's a church over here that says, all of us are sinners. All of us are condemned before God. We need to repent and have faith in only Jesus, and he will bring you to his eternal city. Or there's a church over here. They call themselves a church, but they say, God just wants all religions, all governments to be blessed. God wants you to be happy. Which church is going to be more successful? Which one will sell more books? Which one will draw more people in? The one that preaches sin and the wrath of God? Or the one that just says, let's just all get along, kumbaya? It's easy to see. It is easy to draw people in opposition to the wrath of God. But what is John teaching? For John, stay awake to the spiritual war. Seniors, I beg you, stay awake to the spiritual war. We are in a spiritual world. And John didn't invent this idea. Jesus does, way back in Mark 13. Listen to this. Listen to Jesus beg people to stay awake. He says in Mark 13, 21, and then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, here he is, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you these things beforehand. Jesus doesn't want us to fall asleep. I live in Yoakum. I live in America. I go to the Baptist church. Everything spiritually in my life is fine. There's no frogs out there. No, John and Jesus would beg us, stay awake to the spiritual war. And here's the main thing you need to remember to stay awake. The war doesn't always look like a war. The enemy that wants to keep you away from Jesus may just hop into your life like a cute little frog. Some book, some teaching. Speaking of which, frogs. Who's got a little hoppy frog? Who's got a little hoppy frog? Last one. Oh yeah, Tyvon, you gotta get the last one. Come get it. But that's the thing, kids. The spiritual enemies in our life a lot of times look cute. A lot of times they give us what we want. They promise a false blessing. They want to make us happy. They make us ignore our sin. They make us ignore our need for confession and repentance. So stay awake to the spiritual war. Now let's apply this message, first off, a brief one to the church members here at First Baptist Yoakum. I beg you, church member, this is so important. Please test the spirits. Test the spirits. Revelation 16 at least means, is every spiritual encounter good? If it's a cute, happy frog, it must be good, right? No, there are spirits that do not like us. So, church member, do not trust every spiritual whim or intuition. John says it this way in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, or for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Here's what's going to happen, church member. Someone in our congregation, someone you love and trust and you've done ministry with, they're going to come to you with some spiritual intuition, some spiritual inclination. Hey, I've been praying and I think God wants me to move off to Peru and become a monk. The Spirit is telling me that I should leave my husband and my family and go pursue a recording career. I had a vision of Jesus and he said we should fire Pastor Daniel. Do you know what you're supposed to do, church? If you hear someone talking to you like that, you don't shut them down. But what John is commending to us is test that. Can we pray about that? Can we read the Bible and discern that? That is your spiritual responsibility to test the spirits. Because what happens is a lot of people just borrow spiritual language as their trump card. Oh, the Spirit told me that I'm supposed to buy a Mustang for Father's Day so you can't fight with the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? People use the Spirit as a trump card. But we're supposed to test the spirits. And here's the deal. If someone says, no, the Spirit's talking to me, and we don't have time to read the Bible, and we don't have time to pray, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Scripture. And the Holy Spirit is on God's time. He's not running out of time. So I encourage you, church member, test the Spirit. Now, non-Christian, here's your application for you with all this talk about frogs and demons and spirits. Actually, here's something positive. Non-Christian, you need to know Jesus promises, I am coming. Maybe you're here today and you just came here to celebrate a graduate. God bless you. I'm glad you made it this far, and I'm sorry if you didn't get any candy and you wanted some. But you need to hear this truth. Jesus promises, the Bible promises, he is coming. And so we can sort of live our life, non-Christian, with this false idea. We see it several points in Scripture, but Psalm 73 gives a good word to it. Psalm 73:11. You may have thought this thought. It says, and they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. Non-Christian, maybe you're here today and you say, I don't need religion. I don't need Jesus. And why do you say that? It's sort of out of this desperation. You look at the world, and you look at Christians and non-Christians, and you say, God's not paying attention anyway. The rich keep getting richer. The poor keep getting poorer. The good people get cancer. The bad people don't get cancer. And you just look at this, and you say, morality, you know, if I feel good, I'm fine. You know, I'll live my own way. I don't need Jesus bothering me. But the story of Revelation, the whole Bible cuts through that, and Jesus promises, I am coming. There is a true, real Jesus coming to us. The frogs, they pretend like we can unite all religions. They pretend like everything's all the same, but remember in the story, they're the liars. Jesus is true. Psalm 73 continues on this way in verses 19 and 20. How they are destroyed in a moment. These are the ones saying, there is no God, he's not watching, he doesn't care. They're swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes, O Lord. When you rouse yourself, you despise the phantoms. See, here's the lie that the frogs have been teaching humanity from the beginning. If the thoughts in my head about God are good, then we must be good. If I feel good about God, then it must be good. See, false religion, the frogs want you to focus on how you feel, how you think about God. But true religion, the true religion of Jesus of the Bible, talks about how God feels about you. And there is an absolute truth in Scripture. Whenever it comes to how God feels about us, how we feel, we may say, I feel really satisfied today. I feel really happy with God today. No, the truth of the Scripture, non-Christian, is you are a sinner. You may feel great about God today, or you may feel awful. But in the Bible, we all are sinners, and you know this. I only need to read one verse to convince you. Revelation 21, 27. This is what heaven looks like. It says, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be honest, non-Christian. Are you clean enough to get into that city? Unless you're an egomaniac, you know you're not. It doesn't say someone who pays their taxes on time. It says nothing false. And the truth of the Bible, non-Christian, is Jesus will come back. And he will show us absolute truth, absolute right and wrong. He will show us which churches and which religions are true. We won't have a question anymore. The frogs try to convince you, you can play your own game. God is whatever you make of God. But the Bible says, no, Jesus is coming. And he sets the standard. It's his game. He sets the rules. So what is our only hope? Stop listening to the frogs. Stop doing this invent your own adventure game with God. There's some of us in here. You might say, I'll mix in a little bit of Buddha, a little bit of Catholicism, and a little bit of New Age crystals, and that's just how my religion's going to go. But I would beg you today, listen to the one who promises, I am coming back. Trust him. Trust that he can forgive your sins. Trust that Jesus can bring you to the city. But this trust has a flip side. You must repent. You have to say, those frogs were wrong. Those lies I believed were wrong. Jesus says, I am coming. And that means that we need to put away the lies. You can't do it this way. Jesus, I want you to get me to heaven, but I want to believe whatever I want to get there. That's making you the boss of heaven. That's not what the Bible says is true. So non-Christian, that's a reminder. Jesus is coming. Believe and repent today. Now seniors, for you. Here, my seniors graduating, wherever you went. Little warning for you before you go off to college or career. Watch your assembly. I need to tell you, seniors, your mother was right. Say it again. Your mother was right. You need to watch who you hang out with. That's what we're saying. You need to watch your assembly. And Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 6, 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Paul is warning the Corinthian church, hey, just because you found Jesus, don't go back to the temple of idols. There are places and people that aren't good for you. So seniors, you're about to have more freedom than you've ever had. You can go wherever you want, do whatever you want, stay up as late as you want, and then you're going to want to come home and have mom do your laundry. God bless mamas. But the warning today is, before you go somewhere, before you go to that club or that group or that friend's house, whenever you're away from home, ask yourself, is this going to be spiritually good for me? Is this going to support my faith in Jesus? Or is this going to pull away from my faith in Jesus? Because the Bible's clear. There are cute little frogs that want to convince you of lies, that want to do you harm. You need to watch where you assemble. And that goes to another thing. In that little red book, seniors, it'll say something. Christians go to church. They make a habit of worshiping with Jesus. And whenever you go off, I hope you follow that little red book's advice, and you go find a church home. Don't just come here whenever you come to Yoakum. Go find a church where you're at. And I'll encourage you, just because the building out front says church doesn't mean that they're actually teaching about Jesus inside. If Revelation 16 is true, there can be a church that calls themselves Christian, but they're just speaking what the frogs want to say. So seniors, if you need help finding a church that preaches the same gospel as us, I'm happy to help you. I know churches between here and Alaska. I'm happy to help find a church where you're at. And then also you can use the principles in that red book. But just be mindful, even of the church you're gathering with. Ask, is this something the frogs would say or something Jesus would say? Because here's what's going to happen, seniors, and this is our last bit. At the same time you have all this authority and freedom, you are about to be the most lonely you've ever been. You've grown up in Yoakum. You've been with your mom, been with your dad, been with the same people every day. And Satan is going to use your loneliness to try to convince you to assemble with people that want to do you harm, people that want to lead you astray, people that want to influence you to do things that you don't want to do. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is still with us. He wants to help us guard who we assemble with. Don't let Satan use your loneliness. Watch your assembly. Because what is John teaching us? All of us, from the youngest to the seniors to the oldest, stay awake to the spiritual war.